last verse, the lily of the valley. Hymn, page 446. Let's stand as we sing this. Page 446. We'll sing all three verses. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Of God. forward.
Dear Lord, again, thank you so much for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. Is it time to take these tithes and offerings, Lord, and use them for your will?
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we just ask, so glad to see Brother Franklin here this morning.
Yes, amen.
And again, just give us the knowledge that we need, Lord, to use this money for your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing the doxology. Down, we'll take a few minutes to greet each other in God's love.
Thank you.
some to church tonight, so come with your bags.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everyone is doing well. Had a good week, good weekend so far. If you're glad to be in God's house, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm happy to be here. I know we got a few folks out and about, some on some vacations and traveling here and there. But hey, where two or more are gathered in His name, there He will be also. Amen. So we're going to continue on, and we just are thankful for each and every person that's here today. I'm starting on a new series for the next three or four Sundays. It's entitled, The Greatest of These is Love. We're going to look at part one today. What I want to do is I want to talk to you about the love of Christ, how Jesus shows His love to us and through us. We're going to look at several different stories in the New Testament particularly. We're going to focus today out of the book of Luke chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 10.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. This is a very familiar story to most of you. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. But I don't think we've really approached it from the angle that I'm going to approach it at today. I want to point out some things to you today that were very significant in this parable. If you read it carefully, I've read this many, many times from the time I was a child on up till now. But I've never really looked at what actually was going on here. You know, I told you before that sometimes you can read the same scripture over and over and God will reveal something new to you every time you read it. Well, God revealed something new to me in this parable. So I want to share it with you today. But guys, there's no greater topic that we can talk about than love when it comes to Christianity. Amen. I mean, Christianity is based on love. The book of 1 Corinthians says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be Christ-like, you must show that kind of love. Amen. You got to be willing to take care of people. You got to be willing to humble yourselves and become a servant in order to be pleasing in God's sight. Because you see, if you can't love your neighbor whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? Amen. So, guys, I want us to learn in these next three or four weeks that, hey, God is love, Jesus is love, and if we're going to imitate and be imitators of Christ, we must show and have that kind of love. We're going to look at a lot of different things that Jesus talks about in His Word here that deal with love, because love is dealt with many, many times in the New Testament especially, and in the Old Testament as well. But when Jesus came along, He came bringing a message of love, bringing a message of peace, and that's what I want us to get out of this. So we're going to spend three or four Sundays talking about the greatest of these is love. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read beginning with verse 30 of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Let nothing I say, Lord, in the next few minutes be about me, but let it be all about you, to your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You see, the reason this whole parable came about was Jesus was talking with one of the religious leaders of that day. Now, we're talking about Pharisees, Sadducees here. These were high Jewish people in the religious ranks here. They were always trying to find Jesus in a lie. They were trying to trap him, catch him in a lie, because they wanted him dead. Why? Because this could not be their king that they had looked for all these years. This guy was born in a stable. He was born in a manger. He came to be a servant, not to be served. They just couldn't imagine the King of Kings being that way. So they were looking for any reason they could to try to trap him. So this one on this particular day, if you back up here to verse 25, says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" So Jesus talks to him about what he needs to do. And then he talks to him about the importance of being a good neighbor, being kind and compassionate to people. And he goes on to tell this parable. So this is where we're going to pick up today in our first of many series on love. You see, Jesus told the religious leaders in verse 30 that a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho and he was attacked by bandits. Now, that's not so hard to believe even in this day and age, is it? People get attacked all the time and left for dead here in the United States of America. That's not uncommon. Back then, it wasn't that uncommon for people to attack someone, rob them, steal them. But in this particular story, what is important here that I want you to take away from this is that people had an opportunity to love and show compassion, and only one of them chose to do so. Now, we need to look at this for just a minute, because basically what's fixing to unfold here is one of the greatest examples of love and compassion that you can read in the Bible. And it comes from a most unexpected source, because as we're going to find out in a minute, the person that really ended up helping this guy was the person that was probably the most despised of all of them that came down that road that day. But isn't that great the way God can work through people? Sometimes the lowest people on earth, the Bible says, "He who is first shall be last in the kingdom." In other words, those people that think they're all about themselves and all about something else most likely will be at the bottom of the ladder when it comes to heaven, if they make it at all. Amen. I've got to strongly question someone who loves to just elevate themselves above what God is trying to do in their life. Never, never take the spotlight off of God and put it on yourself. Because I'm telling you what, you're traveling down the wrong road if you do that. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You're traveling down the wrong road if you try to take the spotlight off of God and put it on you. So here's this guy. He gets attacked by bandits. Now he's thrown in the ditch over here. He's beaten. He's left for dead. They stripped him of his raiment, stripped him of his clothing. And he's over here in a terrible mess. And it wasn't long before down this same road, here comes other travelers showing up. The first one who came by was a priest. Now you would probably think, okay, here's a priest. This guy's surely going to stop off and help this man. This is a man who believes in God, who serves in the temple, who is one of the religious leaders of that day. This man surely is going to show some godly love toward this man who's been beaten up over here. But guess what? Instead of stopping, he simply crossed over to the other side and passed him by. How many times in our life do we cross over to the other side when God's calling us to stay on that side of the road, to reach out and help somebody? How many times have we crossed over to the other side of the road, leaving someone over that needs help? I'm going to give you a scenario right here for just a minute, because this priest, who should have been someone proclaiming to know God and serve God, certainly should have been one that would have been willing to go over and help this man. But obviously he didn't. But I want to tell you something that's really given me a great perspective on this. Since we started doing this homeless ministry of several months back, all the way back into November of last year, it has really opened my eyes to how homeless people live and how they have such great faith and how they put their trust in God to provide for them, because they have no other place to go, no other means of provision. So they put their trust in Him. But you see, when I look at this story right here, I can kind of see that. I ask you the question, how many of y'all have crossed over to the other side? Now, I know everybody's experienced this before. You get ready to come up to an intersection. There's somebody standing over there holding a sign up that says, "I'm hungry. Can you help get me some food?" Or, "I'll work in exchange for food," or something to that effect. You're sitting there going, "Uh-oh. Oh, I hope that light hurries up and changes. Oh, I don't want to get caught at this intersection. I don't want him to come up and tap on my window. I'm just, oh, Lord, please let that light change." How many times have you been in that situation that's exactly what you were thinking? That's exactly what this priest here was thinking. Oh man, I can't go over there on that side of the road. There's somebody over there. I might need to try to help them, and I just don't have time to do that. I don't think I'm qualified to do that. Well, let me tell you something. We've all been called to serve. Amen. We've all been called to serve. You don't have to have a fancy degree to serve. You don't have to know all of the formulas in the world to serve. All you have to do is have the heart of a servant in order to serve. And that's what Jesus was. That's what Jesus had. But you see, with these people holding the signs sometimes, you know, I kind of let the Holy Spirit guide me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't convict me to stop and do a whole lot. Maybe that's Him saying these guys aren't who they say they are. But sometimes I have an overwhelming conviction of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to reach out and I'm going to help. But guys, I'm telling you, once I got to know these homeless people over the last several months, these are not outcasts. These are not filthy people you don't need to be around. These are God's children. Amen? We're all God's children. We're all called to take care of one another. To push somebody over onto the side of the road over here and say, I don't have anything to do with them. That's the mentality that's being shown in this parable right here today. And you know what else is significant about this parable? Not only did this priest pass by the guy that was beaten up in the ditch, he made it a point to cross over to the other side of the road. You know what that tells me? He had no intention of helping this man whatsoever. Didn't even walk over there. Didn't even look to see if he was breathing. Didn't even examine him to see how bad his wounds were. No, he simply crossed over to the other side. I want to ask you today, how many times have you crossed over to the other side when God has directly said, go help this person? How many times have we crossed over to the other side and been just like that priest, calling ourselves children of God, but walking away from a situation that God wanted us to intervene in and help out with? This priest walked to the other side. You know why he walked over there? Because he didn't want anybody coming down that road in the opposite direction to look over there and see him by this person not helping him. So he said, well, let me just get way over here so that way I can act like I never even saw him laying over there in the ditch. You know, he was over there. I just didn't see him. I'm sorry. I would have helped if I'd have known it. Guys, we have all kind of excuses as to why we don't show that love and concern for people sometimes, don't we? But the bottom line is this. We are called to love one another. We are called to show compassion to one another. Look at what happens next. Next to show up was a Levite. A Levite showed up next. Okay, the priest didn't stop. How about the Levite, who basically was an assistant like in the temple? He still was associated with the temple. Surely he would stop. Now it goes on to say, basically, he was walking along there, and here's what happened. He at least went over and looked over at the man. I will at least give him credit for that. Because if you look in the scripture right here, go back up to the scripture right here, and you look at verse 32, it says, and likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. At least he took the time to go over there to the ditch and look over there in the ditch and see who was there and what was going on. Now guys, this was a Jew laying over in the ditch. These were Jews who were passing him by. These were his people turning a deaf ear toward him and walking away from him. Unfortunately, he too simply crossed over to the other side of the road and passed him by. I ask this question, how could two religious leaders do this to a fellow Jew? Guys, how many times do we do it each and every day? How many times do we turn a deaf ear to somebody who needs our help? They may need some loving words in their life. They may need some care and compassion in their life. We simply turn and go over to the other side of the road, don't we? I'm ashamed to say it. I've done it before. But I can tell you one thing. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts me now, I don't care what I'm doing. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to talk to that person. I'm going to try to see what's going on with that person. I've been before. I've just had the Holy Spirit of God come on me before and just compel me to go and speak to somebody. You ever had that happen before? Where you just felt overwhelmingly compelled to go and just say, hey, I don't know why I'm supposed to do this, but God's just telling me to speak to you. Are you okay? And come to find out, something was going on in that person's life, and God had ordained that moment. And had I been like the priest or the Levite and crossed over to the other side, I would have missed out on what God had wanted me to do that day. Aren't you glad God speaks to us through His Spirit? Amen. Aren't you glad He directs us and guides us through His Holy Spirit? We need to listen to what that Spirit says, and we need to follow what that Spirit says, because I can tell you one thing, when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you, it is God Himself giving you a message. Amen? He's giving you a message. So this guy went on over to the other side. Maybe they were just in a hurry. I mean, let's look at it. Let's be for real. In this day and age, everybody's in a hurry, right? Maybe those two guys were just in a hurry. At least nowadays, you could probably call 911 on your cell phone and at least reported it, right?
Yeah.
Well, back then, they didn't have cell phones, right? The only way you would have known how someone was doing is if you walked over there and you checked on them. And you know what? To some extent, I wish it would get back to that way again, where we just checked on each other and came over to each other's house, knocked on each other's door. Our cell phones have made it so convenient to step away from the personal interaction with people. But guys, that's important too. Maybe they were in a hurry. They just felt they could not help him maybe. They didn't have the right training to help him. Maybe they were scared that whoever beat him up was still there and were going to beat them up too. Maybe these things crossed their mind. I don't know. The Bible does not emphasize that in this parable as being any of the situation there. But maybe that's what these guys were thinking. Whatever the reason, two capable men passed by this injured man on the opposite side of the road. They didn't even walk past him on the same side he was on. They got over to the other side of the road. The fact that they moved over to the other side pretty well tells us that they had no intention of helping this man. Guys, when you move over to the other side of the road in your life, you have no intention of reaching out and helping whoever it is God has led you to help. It's when you get over on the same side they're on that you can minister to them.
Amen.
That you can love them. That you can care for them.
Amen.
But when you go over on the other side of the road, you're like saying, God, I don't have time for this today. I don't feel comfortable with this today. Knowing good and well that God has put you in that place, in that moment, for that reason. Guys, we got to show love. We got to show compassion. I'm going to tell you something else that's going to be bizarre for you to hear, but I'm going to say it anyway. We are also commanded to even love people such as ISIS. People who have brutally murdered and killed people. You know why? Because Jesus loves them too. Now that's hard to swallow, isn't it? Because in our way of thinking, we want them dead. We want them eradicated. But you got to understand, for every one of them that dies that doesn't know Jesus, there's another one that's going to inhabit hell. And these are Jesus' creations as well. If they're laying on the road bleeding to death and dying, I would do everything I could to try to help them. And I'd be witnessing about the name of Jesus to them while I was doing it.
Amen.
Because you see, that's how some people come to know the Lord. Sometimes God puts those situations in our life for these undesirable people to be in our path so that we can help witness to them.
Amen.
And can help try to lead them to the Lord. Oh, but here comes the third guy now. Maybe the third time's a charm. You know, you ever heard that saying, third time's a charm? Well, I guess it was in this scenario here. Because the third traveler that came down that road that day was a despised Samaritan. Now, let me tell you something about Samaritans. Many of us in this room have people we consider Samaritans in our lives. Yes, we do. You may say, oh no, I love everybody, preacher. I love everybody. No, you don't. There's some people you don't love. Because I've heard some of you talk about them. Amen. Amen. I've heard you talk about some of them. You didn't realize I was hearing you, but I heard some people. So there are some people in this world that are Samaritans in your life. It may be because of the color of their skin. It may be because of their nationality. It may be because of their socioeconomic status. Irregardless of the fact, here was a man who was despised by the Jews who said, I'm going to go help this Jew. Now that was strange. Because let me tell you something. Jews so despised Samaritans that they would sometimes travel many miles out of their way to not even touch the outskirts of a Samaritan village. Now that's bad, isn't it? How many of us would drive 40, 50 miles out of the way just because we didn't want to go through a certain part of a town or whatever? I don't think I would. I know I wouldn't. I'm too miserly, man. It costs too much gas. Amen. Amen. That'd be about an extra 4 or 5 gallons of gas. I can't do that. I might drive through there quickly, but I'm not going to go 50 miles out of the way. But these people would make it a point to go out of their way to avoid them. You see, Samaritans were considered to be unclean and were despised by the Jews. This man, however, was no ordinary Samaritan. Now, you've got to figure, this Samaritan knew that was a Jew laying over there in that ditch. Because he didn't look like he did. He was probably well-dressed. Well, what he had left on, because they stripped him of his clothing, which tells you right there they wanted what he had on to take with them. So, basically, he was no ordinary Samaritan. He was filled with love and showed compassion for this Jew who may well have persecuted him had he walked over there to him and that person was awake and conscious. He may have told him to get away from him. He didn't want to have anything to do with him. But this man felt compassion. He felt love. He felt compelled to go over here and help this man. So you see, he went over to him and the Bible says he soothed his wounds with oil and wine. And then he bandaged them. Now, if that is all that man had done, well, first of all, let me back up a second. Of all three of these people who came by that day, this man probably had the most excuse to cross over to the other side and pass him by. Because this man was despised by the Jews. This man may have feared for his life. If he'd have been seen messing around him, they may have accused him of beating him up. Right? Don't we do that? We love to throw stones, don't we? Amen. I guarantee you one thing, there's a big boulder waiting on you somewhere down the road. Amen. So be careful how many stones you pick up to throw in life. Because there's a giant boulder waiting to fall on your head somewhere, I can promise you. But see, this man over here, here was this Jew. This guy said, you know what? I'm sure this crossed his mind. I'm sure he probably said, if I go over here and help him, then I may get accused of this crime. I may be arrested. I may be beaten. But you know what? I don't care. This is a human being that's laying over here suffering and no one is helping him. So I'm going to go over here and do it. Man, that's when you got the love of Jesus in you right there. Amen. Amen. That's when you don't care what people think. You don't care what people say. We need more men and women of Christ who don't care what other people think. We're just going to go out and we're going to serve God. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to serve Him. We don't care what people think or say. So he went over there and he bandaged him up. Now guys, in and of itself, that would have been way more than most Samaritans would have done for a Jew. Even just bandaging him up and soothing his wounds. If he'd have just left him there hoping that he got well, that would have been way more than most Samaritans would have done. But it didn't end there. It did not end there. This man was not done. He took that man, put him on his own donkey, and took him to the local inn and took care of him. Now, who knows how far that inn was. Guys, we didn't have no cars and trucks back then. Sometimes you either rode a donkey or a camel or you walked for miles and miles and miles. He may have had to walk 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 miles to that inn. But you know what? He put that man on his donkey and carried him to that inn. And guess what? It still doesn't end there. The next day, he had to leave somewhere, which makes me backtrack even further. Here was a man who obviously was on a mission that had to be somewhere because he had to leave the very next day from the inn. This man took time out of his schedule. He probably was late to whatever it is he had to go to and had to explain when he got there why he wasn't there that day. That took time to go over here and help a Jew. Someone who despised this person if he'd have been conscious, most likely. Not only did he take care of him in that inn, the next day he had to depart. He told the innkeeper, here, take these 2 coins to take care of him. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll settle up with you when I come back. Now that's love. Amen. If you believe that's love, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because, hey, you're not going to, first of all, in our day and age, with us as individuals, We might stop and help somebody, but we dang sure ain't going to take them and put them in a hotel room somewhere, are we? I can guarantee you that. We may put a Band-Aid on them, may get them a little peroxide to pour on them, but we're not going to put them up in a hotel and then leave the next morning and tell the hotel guy, here's my credit card, just charge me however much longer he has to stay. I'll make it good. We won't do that, will we? Man, that's love. That is compassionate love, the compassionate love of Christ being shown right there.
Amen.
This man didn't need to stop. This man, of all three, would have been the one that should have probably crossed over to the other side and walked on past. Because that Jew probably had persecuted that same type of person, maybe even that same day. Who knows? Maybe Samaritans even jumped and beat up that man, most likely. They're probably Gentiles, maybe even, who jumped him. But here comes this Samaritan who put aside all of the differences that he may have had with this person. You know why? Because he let the love of Jesus show through him. Amen.
Amen.
That's what he showed. Jesus asked that religious leader after he got through telling that story to pick which of the three acted as a true neighbor to this man. The religious leader replied to Jesus, "The one who showed him mercy was his neighbor." Jesus then replied to him to go and do the same. Guess what, guys? Jesus is telling us that today. Go and do the same. You may find somebody laying in that ditch. Now, guys, I'm not necessarily, when I refer to this in the next couple of minutes, I'm not necessarily talking about somebody who's been physically beaten and thrown in the ditch. I'm talking about somebody who may be emotionally beaten, someone who may be depressed, who may be sad, who may have had a loved one that they've lost recently. These people need a good Samaritan in their life. Amen. These people need someone to soothe their wounds, to show them the love of Christ. That's what I'm compelling and asking you to do. Don't simply pass them by. Don't simply cross over to the other side. I want to ask you this question as I bring this to a close today. When you see someone in need, do you feel compassion and love toward them? When's the last time you just went out of your way to help somebody out that you knew needed help? You know what the Bible says? If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. This is what Jesus said now. If they're naked, clothe them. If they're in jail, go and visit them. If they're sick, take care of them. You know why? Because in doing so to the least of these, you've done it as unto me. And I don't know about you, but I want to do as much as I can for the Master. I want to do as much as I can to show compassion and concern for people. Guys, if we're not willing to go out of our way to help others in time of need, why should we expect Jesus to reach out and help us in our time of need? I mean, guys, listen. We have been called to serve. As a born-again believer in Christ, we are a servant for Jesus. That means helping out with people sometimes that we might not necessarily really want to help out. I can tell you right now, when we go minister to these homeless people, I'm not ashamed to shake their hand. I'm not ashamed to give them a hug. You know why? Because they are God's creatures too. And they deserve the same love and compassion we would give someone wearing a fancy robe and big rings on his finger. These people got a whole lot more faith than a lot of them do. I can tell you that right now. They've taught me a lot about faith. Just listening to some of their stories, we met one guy up there, walked all the way from Pennsylvania to the Appalachian Mountains up in the Carolinas before he finally could not make it any farther. And then somehow he got on down to Athens. I mean, this took him 3 months to get that far. He had a dog with him. His poor dog died along the way sometime during the winter. I thought to myself, walked that far? We complain about getting in our car and driving 20 or 30 miles. This man walked all these hundreds and hundreds of miles. Why? Because he had a mission. He had a goal. He was going to make it. And then, thank goodness, there were good Samaritans along the way that reached out and helped him and helped him get where he needed to be. Guys, that's what it's all about. God's word tells us that when we do this unto one of the least of his children, we've done it unto him. I want to ask you that question today. Are you reaching out and helping Or are you simply crossing over and going on the other side of the road? Because guys, I'm going to tell you something. The older I get, the more I realize that in my lifetime, there have been a lot of opportunities that I passed by that I now realize God had ordained in my life for me to take time to go and help. Now I'm more aware of a situation. You know, some people will be of the mindset when they see someone that's homeless and maybe got a sign or something up, well, why don't they get a job? Well, let me tell you something. Do you realize that most homeless people on the streets, many of them were well-to-do people at one point in time? They had a good job. They fell on hard times for whatever reason. They lost everything they had. So they were reduced to having to try to find food wherever they could. When's the last time you ate out of a garbage can? When's the last time you went to a dumpster at a fast food restaurant just to see if you could find some scraps to eat? You see, guys, these are the kind of people we need to minister to. We need to show the love of Christ to. But so many times we're afraid to even get near them. Ooh, they're diseased and blah, 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 blah. No, it's us that have the disease, amen. We have the disease of bitterness and anger and prejudice. That's who has the disease. So I end this message today by saying this. If you love Jesus, then you're going to reach out. And you're going to be a good Samaritan to somebody. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Lord, we were undeserving of it. We still are today. But God, your grace and mercy has abounded. And those of us that are born again believers in you, Lord, we have the comfort and safety in knowing that we are saved for all eternity. God, I just pray now that you'll help us to be willing vessels. Help us to be that good Samaritan in somebody's life. Help us to be that person that will not cross over to the other side, but will reach out and help. Even though it might not seem like the best thing to do from the world's perspective, Lord, we're not in this world. We're in this world. We're not of this world. Lord, help us to rise up above that in order to serve you. Father, if there's anybody here today that needs to accept you as their Savior, I pray they'll do it today before it's too late. Lord, I pray that hearts and minds have been challenged. I pray that this altar will fill up, Lord, with your people who are getting right with you this morning, Father. And we're going to give you the praise for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What song are we singing, Becky?
458.
458. Let's stand and sing 458.